Now, one of the things with the apartment hunting process in Paris is that it's incredibly daunting in that landlords are very, very strict about who they accept because of all the rights that tenants have in France, as well as the fact that the Parisian rental market is incredibly competitive. Podcast, The Life of a Bon Vivant, Manifesting Your Paris Dreams and More. I'm your host, Bita Hashimpour. This podcast is designed to inspire, elevate, and help you step into the abundant life you deserve, whether that's in Paris or anywhere else in the world. Welcome back to another episode of the Life of a Bon Vivant podcast. This week, I wanted to touch upon something that I briefly mentioned in my video last week on YouTube. So just to catch you up real quick, in case you didn't see that video, last week I shared a video on YouTube talking all about how I was able to find an apartment in Paris in my dream location and how I actually went through the process from searching for the apartment, what sites I used, to how I put my dossier or application portfolio together to be able to be considered by a French landlord and approved. Now, one of the things with the apartment hunting process in Paris is that it's incredibly daunting in that landlords are very, very strict about who they accept because of all the rights that tenants have in France, as well as the fact that the Parisian rental market is incredibly competitive. There aren't that many apartments available in comparison to how many people are actually looking for one. So in my case, I was looking for an unfurnished apartment, and I had a very particular area, not just neighborhood, but like actual area that I wanted to be in. So if you can imagine, it's like if you were looking in Los Angeles, for example, and you knew you not only wanted to be in, for instance, the West LA area, or even more specifically, let's say Santa Monica area. But if you even narrow down further and said you wanted to be in Brentwood, right? So I was very specific, and that's because I've lived in Paris before and I've been in that neighborhood of the 7th in particular before, and I knew where in that neighborhood I really wanted to be close to the things that I wanted to have access to on a daily basis with ease. So because of that, like I said, you can imagine that the options were even more slim. And so that was a little concerning to me, but also it was a whole different ball game from last time in that I wasn't using an agent to help me get the apartment. And this time I was also looking for an unfurnished rental, which means the criteria for being approved is even more strict because they are giving you like a 3-year lease instead of a 1-year lease. And it's not as common for them to lease to individuals with American or foreign source income. So in my case, it's not like I have a salaried French job. My income is coming from my own business. So that's already one sort of obstacle in that I'm self-employed. But two, that self-employment income hasn't been generating income in France. It's not like I have even a company in France at this point yet, right? So these are all things that normally would be really challenging and typically are. So I went into the process knowing that it may not be as easy, obviously, as it tends to be for me in my home country of the US. And just to give you a little bit of like comparison, in the US, I rent from a big company. I have been renting from a big company for many years, both before I moved to Paris and then when I came back in 2022. I've been renting from the same company. It's a company called Irvine Company, which, if you have any presence in Southern California, especially in Orange County area, you have definitely heard of them. Although they also do have residential communities in Northern California too. But anyways, they're a huge company, huge, 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 have many apartment communities, and they're sort of like classed as a luxury apartment community, but and they are, but the process basically to getting an apartment in one of these communities is really based off of just your credit history. Yes, you list how much money you make, and yes, they do a background check to make sure you're not like a felon or have evictions or things like that on your credit. But if you, assuming you have a clean criminal history, you're not a criminal, and you report a the kind of income, usually two, I think it's literally 2.7x the income, or I'm sorry, the rent that they're asking for. If your income meets that, then the only sort of checking, if you want to say that they're doing, is to make sure your credit score is above a certain threshold. They don't explicitly tell you, but from what I've heard, I think it's about like 640 or something. If it's above that, then they usually won't ask for any other proof from you, like pay stubs or tax return or bank statements or anything like that. And so it's in comparison, like I said, if you have a good credit score and a clean history, it's pretty easy to rent. And it's because it's also very easy for them to evict you if you don't pay. They have a very streamlined process. They have a very huge legal team. They are, a mega company. So for them, it's pretty easy versus obviously like a private landlord would have a lot more expense and time and effort they'd have to put. So I share all this because I was coming from this perspective of like things have been really easy for me, but oh my gosh, I'm going to Paris and I know things are not that easy. Even last time when I was apartment hunting in Paris, I was super grateful when I got accepted for my apartment, the furnished rental for a year. I was very grateful that my agent was able to make that happen. There were definitely nerve-wracking moments there when you're kind of waiting. And I did see a lot of really not so pretty apartments the first time around as well until I could, finally found the one that I moved into. And I was very cognizant of the fact that my landlord was really great and approved me without too much fuss and really didn't look at too much paperwork, actually. What I provided him was, yes, more than I would probably share with any average person on the street, but it wasn't like anything actually too revealing. I don't even think I had to share my bank statements with him, which you don't usually in France, but it's he didn't ask or need anything. I didn't do any tax returns. I pretty much gave like a profit and loss sort of sheet at that time, and he was okay with it. And so, in any case, I was very aware of the fact that I was lucky then. And so when I came into this one, I knew that that might not happened, that ease with which I applied last time might not happen this time. And I also didn't have an agent with me to do everything and handle everything. Now, I share all of this because what I really want to talk about in this episode is the mindset that I had going into this. And I think this can be applied for really anything that you're doing in your life. A lot of times, people will tell you their opinions and advice when you share something that you want to be doing, whether in my case, that's apartment hunting in Paris. Maybe in your case, you want to change your career or you want to move to a different neighborhood in your, state or even in another state. Maybe you want to have another baby. Maybe you want to just renovate your place or you feel like doing a new hobby or starting a new project. starting a new charity, whatever it is that you may want to do and have a sort of like a passion project or dream or some kind of vision for. A lot of times when you share that with others, there will be people who support you, but there will also be a lot of people who want to bring the practical and can be sort of those negative Nellies. And they're not always doing it from a malicious place. I just always like to remind people that because I think for the most part, a lot of the people that we probably surround ourselves with or confide in about these things, we actually do value their opinion and we do appreciate, them in our life. And they probably tend to have some positive energy for the most part if they're still hanging around in your life. If they don't, that's a different podcast episode. But, people. They are looking at everything through their own lens, and sometimes their own lens has limitations or doesn't have all the knowledge that it needs to give you a truly informed piece of advice or opinion. And all they're doing is trying to offer you what they think is practical and best and safe and smart through that lens. And for the most part, really, none of us, whatever your lens is, can really tell you how anything is going to turn out because you just never know. There are miracles. There are crazy, fluke incidents. There are things that happen one in a million, but you might be that one in a million. So it's like if somebody told you, never play the lottery, you're never going to win. I mean, the chances are like one in a whatever, Jillian. And they may be going off of something that's commonly accepted or shared or predicted or even statistical analysis. But what if you were that one? It does happen. People do win the lottery. So whenever anyone tells me like they play the lottery, I'm always like, that's awesome. Good for you. I even sometimes will pick up a scratcher every once in a while just for fun. And I've actually won money off those scratchers. I've won like $100 before over a $10 scratcher. So you just never know. But my opinion in general is that when you do have something that you do want to do or you have in your heart, it's best to, if you're going to share it, come from a place of very secure confidence in what you're going to do before you share it, or just don't share it at all. And why I say that is because it's really easy. For instance, I'll just use my case as the example. It's very easy for me to say, oh, yes, I'm actually apartment hunting in Paris. I'm moving there and I'm looking for an apartment. And if someone tells me, oh, good luck with that one, because it's like impossible in Paris. Then, if I'm not very secure and confident in what I'm doing and what I want, it would be really easy for me to take that and let it affect me and think, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, great. What am I going to do? Like, what if I don't find an apartment? What if I can't be in that area I want to be in? Ugh, maybe I should just go outside of Paris and settle for somewhere in the suburbs that I didn't actually want to be in, or is going to be an inconvenience for me, for my work, and such and such. So it's really easy to fall into that sort of thought pattern when you're not confident about what you're doing. So think about it this way. Like, let's say you have this meal that you always make in your house and you are just fire at making that. Like, you are so good. Everybody knows you for this dish. Let's say it's your famous lemon meringue pie. Okay. Like, this is one you even awards at the community bake-off, and you are just stellar at this. Everybody kills for a slice of that. If somebody comes up to you and says, I don't think you can make a good lemon meringue pie. I mean, lemon meringue pie, it's tricky. It's tricky to get that really smooth curd. It's tricky to get, that taste that doesn't have the metallic bit in it. It's tricky to get that meringue, perfectly toasted on top. I don't know. I don't know. If someone tells you that and you're the lemon meringue pie queen, It's not going to affect you because you are like, girl or boy, you have no idea. You haven't even tried mine. Like, I know what I'm talking about. I can make this pie, the pie of your dreams. Just sit and watch. When you're in that sort of state of mind, it's fine to share. You could walk up to that person and say, "Yeah, I'm submitting my lemon meringue pie for this contest." And if they told you like, I don't know, that's a tricky one," you'd be like, "No, just watch. Just watch. I'm gonna win." And it would be fine. But for a lot of us, when we're especially in those beginning stages of what it is we want to do or we're dreaming about, we're not there yet. We have our own doubts ourselves, and we're just trying to battle the inner critic, right? That's inside and is doubting what it is you want to do. And so you really have to work on first battling that critic and gaining confidence in yourself and your decision before deciding to share that with someone that could potentially damper that and really put you into negative tailspin. And I say that because, even myself, when I started the apartment hunt, I share that with people. And people had varying opinions. There were definitely people who were like, yeah, it is pretty tricky, and they were all coming from a good place. But at this point, I feel pretty confident in my ability to not let it affect me just because for many years, I've dealt with this kind of reaction to a lot of things I've done because I have gone a path that's less normal, if you want to say. I'm not in a normal job. I've never followed the ordinary path, the career path, even the school path that people sort of thought I should. And so I've been dealing with a lot of those critical opinions from my early 20s, and I've learned to let them bounce off me. But, even myself just going online and doing the research for apartment hunting in Paris, I read through a lot of expat groups, and you read a lot of stories of people who are struggling to find an apartment, and they have plenty of money and assets and everything to show, but the landlords are just very nervous about doing it with a foreigner, and they don't want to get into business with someone that could potentially get up and just leave. There are cases like that. And then there's YouTube videos that I've seen of people who have seen like hundreds of apartments and are struggling, and they just keep renting Airbnbs because they can't get an apartment. So there, I've seen all of these, and what I've had to learn to do is really shut out that noise. And I call it noise because it is noise. While something may have been fact for someone else. For instance, if someone came and said, "I applied to 20 different apartments and got rejected from all of them," that is true and fact for them. But that does not mean that's true and fact for you. Another perfect example of this is a lot of people will, if you go online, if you go talk to Americans in France, I mean, just Google it and you'll see. Opening a bank account in France as an American, you'll find lots of stories of people who have said this is literally like impossible these days. And it's because of FATCA. Basically, it's like a reporting requirement Congress put in place to prevent people from, hiding money, basically, and money laundering and all of that with foreign accounts. So it's put all these extra reporting requirements and a big burden on these foreign banks to make sure they adhere to FATCA. And so when an American comes into a French bank account and says, "I want to open an account," the French bank is like, "Oh, brother, like we do not want to deal with America." And so they will oftentimes reject them. And so this is why people have really been struggling in years since FATCA was enforced and put in place. But that said, I remember when I was looking to open a bank in France. I was still in California the first time around when I got my visitor visa. And it's one of those things that you really do need one if you are apartment renting through like a landlord and not an Airbnb situation. You need a bank because you need to be able to put the utilities in your name. And similar to in the US, although it varies depending on the utility company, a lot of times they want a debit card or checking information, checking account information to pay your utility fees. They don't usually accept credit card always. So in France, you need that French debit card or checking account. And for Americans to be able to get the apartment they need that account. Now, a lot of times when you're not a French resident, the bank won't give you an account. Or even when you're a resident, they don't want to, like I said, deal with the American citizen. So all of this said, when I was in California and I was looking for a bank in France, I kind of had this in mind, but I saw someone in one of the groups just put out a comment that, yeah, I was op able to open one and I live in California and such. I messaged the person and I was like, do you mind sharing who the banker was in France that you used? And he was like, yeah, no problem. And he gave me her email. I sent her an email and said, hi, my name is Bita. I just got a visitor visa. I'm looking to open a bank account. I'll be moving to France in a month. And, I'm apartment hunting right now and I will have an address soon, but I need, a bank account. She was so sweet. She immediately emailed me back, said no problem, sent me all the forms that I needed to fill out. She even helped me get renter's insurance through my bank, through my French bank. She told me, don't worry, I'll send you your paperwork to your virtual address in the US. And then your debit card will be here in our branch, ready for you to pick up when you get here. Just really smooth, seamless process. Very kind woman. She spoke perfect English. Just something that you would never, ever imagine or guess would happen, based off of everything that I had read and all the chatter about this. Now, I had this experience. Doesn't mean it's not to negate someone else's experience to say, oh, well, your experience where you were rejected, that must not be true because I wasn't. I got accepted. No, it's just to illustrate the fact that all of us have these experiences that are true for us and they can be different. And I think, especially in France, it can really vary from who you see, who you talk to, who you get in touch with. Your experience can differ. It's not as hard and fast as sometimes it is in other countries. And so I share all this to hopefully infuse some optimism, some faith in you, a reminder for you to not let other people's opinions and advice affect you, even if what they're saying seems like pure fact. Just know there are always exceptions and there are always differences. Even with things that feel like it cannot be any other way, sometimes another way does open. And so I hope you remember that. And if you are thinking of doing something, planning something, really try to first work with the inner critic before you start sharing with others. And if you are going to share with others, try to share them with people that you know are just going to truly be supportive and be your cheerleader. And I know sometimes that can be really hard to find. Even the people who are super great in our life, who we love hanging out with, it could be even your spouse that's, someone you usually share things with. Your spouse always isn't the cheerleader type. Maybe they're the type that's always kind of playing the devil's advocate and giving you the other side of things, which isn't always bad. But when you are trying to do something that is a little bit different or you're not sure about yourself yet, I think it first helps to really cement that confidence in what it is you want to do before you go out there and tell people about your ideas and dreams. So if this resonated with you, I'm interested to know if you've had like an experience like this where maybe you shared something and it wasn't well received, or maybe you actually did follow this advice and you kept something to yourself and then at the end just kind of told people around you, surprise, I'm doing this or I've done it and it worked out for you. So let me know. You can leave a review here or send me a DM on Instagram. I love hearing from you guys, but I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your week and we'll chat again soon. And if you haven't watched the YouTube video from last week, I'll link it below. Please make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel. That way you'll get the alerts as soon as a video is available and new on that channel there as well.